5 seconds.
Blog Talk Radio.
Something's supposed to happen here.
Hell yeah.
I'm cracking myself up over here. This is so much fun.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Well done, well done. I love that doorman. Welcome, and once again, I'm happy to have you here visiting me in Madame Perry Salon, the podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. I am your host, cruise director, and groove mistress, Madame Perry, or you can also call me Jennifer Perry. And of course, you know tonight is a very special night. This is my annual Halloween party in Madame Perry Salon. And of course, I know all the best people, all the big names. Why? Because I'm Madame Perry, and I have all the dirt on everybody. Joining us tonight in this little soiree are two very dear friends of mine. One, please welcome Mr. West. Mr. West, bon vivant raconteur, man about Redondo Beach. Come on in and have a seat, Mr. West.
Thanks for building me up so much. That was an awesome introduction.
It's my job. It's my job. So happy to have you here that you could take time out of your busy life to come and join us here. We don't get to see very much of you. Nice smoking jacket. Have you been down to Goodwill again?
Well, yes, I made a special trip just for the show. By the way, I wanted to mention, you'll have to forgive me. I'm kind of in that, being on the West Coast, I'm kind of in that transition stage between my afternoon coffee and early evening alcohol. So it kind of messes with my focus. So don't expect me to be on spot tonight, okay, just so you know.
Okay. I won't expect any focus, so that would be just fine. But we're just delighted to have you here to bring your general savoir faire to the event.
Glad to see we're on the same page.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, dear. And my friend and assistant doorman, Duffy. Duffy, I'm so glad that you were able to get off of your other job and work here again tonight.
Oh, it's wonderful. I've lost my shoe.
Did you lose it before you got here, Duffy? Or what's the story on this? Is this something pertinent to the evening?
No, I just looked down. I only have one shoe on.
Well, Duffy, that's a shame. It really is. And I'm very sorry to hear that, but you're going to have to be better prepared if you're going to keep working. All right. Duffy, maybe you better. Duffy, have you had your vitamins today? You know, your special vitamins? Okay. And Duffy, you know, we opened the show, instead of my usual theme song, we opened with Don't Fear the Rabbit by Frenchie and the Punk. I thought that would put everybody in a better mood.
Okay. I love rabbits.
Okay. Well, my doorbell is not working very well, but we are going to have some trick-or-treaters tonight. You know, we got to get a little jump on the frightful season. And let's see if we hear somebody at the door. Like I said, my doorbell's not working. I had Duffy working on it earlier today, Mr. West, and he's not very mechanical. Let's see what it does.
He was probably looking for his shoe.
Yeah, really. Okay, that must be it. Come in. We have a trick-or-treater. Well, hello there, young lady. And what is your name?
Hi, I'm Sherry.
Sherry, well, welcome. I see you've got your little trick-or-treat bag. And let's see, let us guess. What are you supposed to be tonight? Wait. Guys, help me guess what her costume is. Are you a social worker?
A butterfly?
No. Mr. West, what do you think she is?
Well, I'm thinking if she was dressed up as a shoe, it might help out Duffy.
It may. And then again, it may not. Let me see. I'm going to go ahead and rule out 90s emo artist. I don't think that's it. But, well, come on in and sit down. And Sherry, we've got some candy and treats for you here, and they're all in a little package, so you don't want to open them until you leave. But Sherry, this is a party, and it's a Halloween party, and so we would hope, do you have a song or a story you can share with us?
I have a little story.
Oh, wonderful. Isn't that wonderful, everyone?
Yes. I want to hear
it. Can't wait to hear it.
All right. Well, Sherry, yes, as you see, we'd be delighted to hear your story. So go ahead.
Okay. When I was a little girl, my grandmother loved to tell us stories about the old country. And for some reason, only my brother and I were very interested in it. One of the stories that she used to tell us was about the real Dracula's castle. Grandma lived in Transylvania, and her shtetl was a little Jewish village that was right below the castle. You can imagine how delighted I was when Grandma one day decided to recount her adventures as a young girl. She was out in the village to get some water from the well, and she was really close to the castle. the castle was high up on a hill, like a fortress, and the real Dracula was much, much scarier than the Dracula that Bram Stoker created. His name was Vlad the Impaler for a reason. He was a monster who put his victim's head on stakes outside the castle walls to warn others. So my grandma, being a good little girl, was supposed to go out and get water. And there were stories in the village about headless ghosts wandering near the castle. And she wasn't allowed to go there at night. But she didn't really expect anything bad in the morning. And she always went to get the water before school, but for the first time ever, she felt like there was something behind her or someone. Thinking it was one of the boys from the village teasing her, she just went on to get the water for her bucket. As she turned around, there was a shadowy figure, and it was obscured in the darkness of the trees. And to her fright, it had no head. She ran home screaming her head off, not literally in her case, when she told her father, when she told her father, my great-grandfather, what happened, he questioned her, thinking that maybe it was a joke, you know, the village boys dressed up. And it upset him because the family needed the water. But from the description of the clothes and the way she described the figure, he knew that it must have been one of the last victims. And from that day on, only he and her brothers were allowed to get water from the well.
Oh.
Whoa.
Is that cool?
That's a good story. What wasn't cool to her, that's a good story. What do you think of that, Tommy?
He had no head. He had no head.
All right. Well, Sherry, thank you so much for stopping in and telling us a true story about your grandmother in Romania. Thank you. And I hope that you get a lot of treats tonight. And here, I've got a little special goodie bag for you. And don't open it until you get outside because it's a surprise. And just take that with you. I'm going to let you out the back door. And if it makes any noise or moves, just smack it one time, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, thank Happy you, Halloween. Sherry. Hope you... Happy Halloween to you, okay? Step right outside where the dogs are. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a good story. All right. So anyway, yeah, some neighborhood kids are supposed to walk the dogs, and I guess they just put them in the backyard. Yeah. I know. So, okay, well, let's see. I think we have Duffy. I really was hoping that you would have time to work on that door. But I have, let's see, I think somebody else is parking outside. And we have another guest. Oh, my. Another guest coming in.
Awesome.
And Duffy, would you get the door, please?
Yes. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
There's someone
Hello.
Here.
Hello.
Hello.
Come on in.
Thank you very much.
Yes, yes.
Hello.
You need to remove my leg irons.
Follow the candles. The floating
is candle. Is the candy supposed to be this gooey? That
Which
is chocolate
one
sauce on
no.
it.
No. That's the candy.
It's not candy,
no,
my friend.
Rattlesnake, honey, Mr. West. It's our dear friend Jasper Bark. Duffy, let him in. And Duffy, please find him a find a nice chair
Here's
for him.
Cozy
Jasper
chair.
Bark is a very special friend. He's a
Hello.
Very special friend.
Thank you
friend
for
Adam
is it supposed to have spikes all over the seat?
No. So, are you comfortable, Duff? Are you comfortable, Jasper?
Not really, but I'll make do. It's okay.
What a trooper.
Yes, I have been meaning to work on my Indian fake act and to lie on a bed of nails. So I suppose sitting on a chair of nails, that's a start, isn't it?
Well, we're doing the best we can around here. We don't have much of a budget and not much of a sponsorship these days. But, Jasper, I'm so glad that you've come all the way from England. Jasper, let me introduce you to my friends here. You know my doorman, Mr. Sulu, but also my assistant, Duffy, here. Duffy, this is
hello, Duffy.
Jasper Bark.
Hello,
and
Jasper.
And, of course,
hello, Duffy.
And a friend of mine, Mr. West. Mr. West, meet Jasper Bark.
Hey, Jasper.
Hey, Mr.
What's
West.
Up with the accent?
Pleasure
What's
to
up
make
with
your
the
acquaintance.
Accent? Where, nice to meet you, too. Where are you from? What's up with the accent there?
I'm actually from New Jersey, but I came down with a rather nasty infection, and something happened to my vocal cords, and now I sound like a kind of bargain bucket Brit, I'm afraid. It's also rather catching, so I wouldn't stand too close, or you might lose your accent.
Yeah.
Well, you got lucky there, actually, that you don't have the Jersey accent anymore, frankly. So, good job.
Yeah, well, I guess. My wife doesn't say it that
All
way,
right,
but
okay.
What are you
going to do? He's not from
windy,
New Jersey. He's from
Duffy,
New
Jersey.
Oh, yes.
What's that? Oh.
Thank you. Yeah, that was Duffy shutting the door. All right, so my dear friend... Jasper, you know, I've played some of your videos on some of my social media lately, especially the way of the barefoot zombie.
Thank you very much.
Where you have a very Hugh Hefner-esque look about you with your Playboy bunny zombies, introducing yourself as a Playboy.
Author, Playboy,
realtor,
fluffer to royalty.
Where can I see that? I heard Playboy.
It's just looked me up on YouTube.
What URL? Where do I go? I think I need to see this.
Listen, I've got to go let the dogs out for a moment. I was hoping you would tell a story, and for us tonight. And let me go put the dogs outside and or the beast out, killer Satan. Just a minute. And Duffy, would you make go over to the cauldron and get a nice beverage for Mr. Jasper Bark, please? Would you do?
Oh, I'll go to the cauldron.
And for Mr. West.
To be delight. Oh.
Thank
get
you.
Get a beverage for Mr. Bark and for Mr. West, please. I'll be right back.
There's a bug in my stein.
And you're
staying. If it's blood, can I have it at room temperature,
fine.
Please?
Yeah, I'm good,
fine.
Duffy. I don't need anything.
Franken. Mr. Jasper, would you have some brew?
Okay. Is it supposed to be that color?
Yes. Yes. It's a special color for Halloween.
I see.
Oh,
well, I'd be honored. It won't cause any strange sudden transformations, will it?
I can't say exactly.
It wasn't brewed up by Dr. Jekyll or anybody.
I can't say. I wasn't there for the process.
Fair enough. Well, do you know what? You only live once, and sometimes you don't even live that long. So, you know what? I'm game for anything. I'll try anything once.
Take a sip.
Yeah, that's certainly a unique flavor.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
And those little croutons floating in it, are they they look suspiciously like eyeballs.
Yes, that's corn.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, I think it's something of a... it's fair to say it's something of an acquired taste.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for serving.
You must only sip it.
Okay. Right. So I shouldn't just take a good chug.
Thank you, Duffy, for serving. I don't see Mr. West. You don't have a beverage? Have you ever drank it before?
No. Yes.
Okay.
That's why. I'm gonna pass. Let's just say the last time I had some of that.
Oh, go
stuff,
on.
No. Last time I had some,
oh,
I woke
come
up
on.
No, really, I woke up naked next to some dude. He looked kind of like Benicio del Toro. He's wearing an orange Speedo. and we're on a sex slave ship heading toward Pensacola or maybe Taipei. I'm not sure.
So what's not to like about that?
Pensacola and Taipei are very similar.
Oh, you're just a kidder. He's just a kidder. Don't listen to him, Jasper. He's just a kidder. So, Jasper, you know, you've got so many matches, so many fantastic things. You've got a YouTube channel coming up, graphic novels, so many books. You've got two new books out. And do you have a special story that you can tell just for Madam Perry's guest?
I certainly do. Last time I was on the show for Halloween, I told quite a modern story. This time around, I'm gonna go very, very, very old school. In fact, I'm going to go right back to the very birth of storytelling itself. Back in the days before we had screens of any sort, before we had books, when all storytelling was oral. And this is a story from ancient Wales. And I kind of want you to imagine, as you're listening to it, that you're sitting in a large hall, probably made from wattle and daub, with a roof that's woven out of lots of twigs together, that you've all gathered in the hall because the grand chieftain of the tribe or the king of this particular small fiefdom has called you all in. Everyone's been feasting because it's All Hallows Eve, so a large hog has been roast over an open fire, and now as the embers are beginning to crackle and everyone's eaten their fill of pork and drank their fill of mead, the chieftain cracks his staff on the ground and calls for the bard to come. And a rather slim, sort of lithe chap with a very long white beard and a little lyre steps into the ring, and he decides to tell you the story of Gelert. And this is my interpretation of it in verse. Of all the tales of ancient Wales surviving to this day, that catch the lives and loves of those now long since passed away, no one has told so sad and bold a tale as of Gelert, the best-loved guard dog of the king, both constant and alert. A finer hound was never found in any sovereign's home, nor no palace more protected than those royal halls he'd roam. Most everything prized by the king was guarded by Gelert. All his family and possessions, from his scepter to his shirt. So, on that day, when called away by matters of the state, the king called to his favourite hound and told Gelert to wait on constant guard, so all were barred from access to the spot on which the precious firstborn prince lay dreaming in his cot. The faithful hound stood to that ground beside the king's sole heir, and not one single thing that moved escaped his watchful stare. The sleeping child just sighed and smiled without a single care. Gelert knew nothing greater than the future king's welfare. Affairs of state drag on till late, and when the king was done, he flew home in his eagerness to hold his newborn son. But what he learned when he returned brought panic to his face. The prince's cot was empty, and Gelert had left his place. He searched the gloom of that dim room, and in the waning light, the king laid eyes upon the dog, who looked a fearful sight. His wild eyes glared, his teeth were bared, and from his mouth dripped blood. The king could tell Gelert had killed quite near to where he stood. "Fiend!" cried the king, and in one swing he brought his drawn sword down upon the hound he trusted with the future of the crown. As that last breath that meant his death slipped softly from the hound, an infant's cry was heard, to the surprise of all around. Behind the screen, the prince was seen, alive without a doubt, next to the body of a wolf whose throat had been torn out. The king, he sobbed, "I've not been robbed of my most precious jewel, and yet I've slain the one to whom we owe your future rule." The king's remorse came with such force, he personally ensured a royal burial for Gelert, his only just reward. And to this day, where those bones lay, a village can be found, named Bedgelert, in honor of the land's most faithful hound. And that's the story.
Oh. Oh. Hail Gelert!
That was awesome.
Gelert. Yes, yes. Oh.
And there is actually a village to this day in Wales called Bedgelert, and that is a very ancient and traditional story, and that's my telling. And I think actually that it's like many, many, many ancient traditional stories, it is a horror story. Horror stories were some of the earliest tales we ever told ourselves.
Yeah, great
and
reading.
That's why Halloween is such an important time. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thank you. And where is the city near in Wales? Where would I find it?
Bedgelert.
Only
you
been
know
there
what? In Wales, let's I don't it. Know actually where to find Bedgelert. In
well,
Wales.
We'll find it. We'll have a show there next year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It's in the Snowdonia area of Gwynedd, Wales. And the population in the last census was 455 people. And
wow.
You can even go and visit Gelert's grave. That's about as so it's in Snowdonia.
Snowdonia. It's in the national park, apparently.
Yes, Mr. West, I'm sure it is. Well,
no, I'm Googling mapping. Google mapping it right now.
Oh. Jasper, thank you. Thank you so much for taking time to come and tell us a story to read to us. Thank you so much.
You are very, very welcome.
Do you have another drink?
Maybe I'm good, you know? Maybe one of Duffy's bruises, possibly one a year, is about all my stomach can take, I think, actually. But it's very kind
of All right. A man has to know his limits. All right. Well, Mr. Barker, are you going to stay a while, or do you have to go attend to some other ghoulish?
I can stay a little while longer. I mean, seeing as I've come all the way, obviously, across the pond, it would be kind of rude of me, really, not to hang around a little bit longer, wouldn't it?
All right. Ooh. Well, let's see. Well, let's play. I'm going to wait and give you your little snack bag before you go, but let's stop and play a song first, shall we?
Okay. Yeah,
what would you like to hear? How about something by Kelly Dwyer? Do you know Kelly Dwyer?
That sounds perfect.
Been on here before? All right. This one is called, and you have to really listen to the words, See Something. This is a very important message for the world today. See something, say something. Kelly Dwyer.
Don't assume it was left by accident. If you see something, say something.
Hey, everybody! It's terrorist season here in New York City. It's tourist season.
Tourist.
You know what? I was going about my day in 5 blocks to the G train, broke an umbrella in the rain. I waited and waited and waited and waited. Wait, what's that there? An unattended package next to the subway stairs. And I thought to myself, see something, say something. No one was there for me to say something to. See something, say something. The attendant had been replaced by a machine, so what was I to do? I went over to the package to listen for a bomb. And sure as I am sure, it was meowing like a bomb. I knew right then and there I was going to be a hero. I had to stop that bomb from meowing down to zero. And I thought to myself,
see something, say something.
But no one was there for me to say something to.
See something, say something.
The attendant had been replaced by a machine, so what was I to do? I ran up the subway steps and out into the street. I yelled, it's a bomb! The bomb hissed and peed. I ran down to the river. The tourists were in shock and awe. I threw that bomb in the river. That's when I saw the tiny
paw.
I saw something.
I did something.
The tourists tweeted their friends about my poor decision.
Fabulous.
I love Kelly Dwyer. You like this song, Jeff? I like it.
That was brilliant.
Oh, she is marvelous.
Brilliant.
It's all right. Oh, guys, you know what I think? I think we have. I think we have somebody else at the door, and we get to guess what their costume is. Because sometimes these costumes are a little. Well, they're just. Oh, what do you say? They're just a little bit not well put together. You know, some people just have no commitment to their costumes. So let's see. Open the Zeffy. Would you open the door, please?
Yes, I'll get it for you.
You gotta get that door fixed, Zeffy. The doorbell. All right.
Hello?
Duffy, I told you, no personal phone calls or visits from your friends while you're here working, sweetie, okay? Okay? Because I know you want this. Because I know you want to keep this job. Yeah, so go ahead and send your friends out. Okay, we have somebody else.
I need my shoe.
All right, come in. All right. Well, hello there, young man. Come on in. Welcome to Madame Perry's Halloween special. How are you? Hello?
Hello?
Are you a little bit shy? Oh, it's not a young man. Is this a young woman? Good costume. Well, come on in. Let's see. And what is your name?
Lee Murray.
Lee Murray. All right, Lee. Well, I'm here with my friends, Mr. West, Jasper Bark, whom you may know, and Duffy.
Hello.
Oh.
And so first we're going to try to guess
what... Dr. Einstein to me over there.
Oh, yes. Which one? Don't you know Lee Murray?
I'm not sure we've had the pleasure.
No, I don't think we have met before, but I hear he's come from a long way away, just as I have. I just popped in from New Zealand. I thought I saw Sherry's car out the front, and so I thought I'd just turn up. I hope that's okay.
Sherry was here earlier. Yes, she was here earlier. I think she's still smacking her Halloween treat around. I told her if it made any noise, just to I could be quiet till she got home. Now, first of all, let's try to guess. Let's try to guess what her costume is, guys, okay? Don't tell us. Let us guess.
I think she's ointment.
No. Maybe an encyclopedia salesperson? Mr. West, what do you say?
Mr. Potato Head on steroids, I'm thinking.
I'm thinking a homeschooled pharmacist. What about you, Jasper?
I was thinking kind of somewhere in the region of Barbarella, by way of Camino d'Italia.
That's what I said, Orchman.
Well, you know, down here in New Zealand, it's not a big deal, Halloween. I hate to say that, but yeah, we don't. It's not a really big deal. We don't really do that trick-or-treat thing, so... mostly it's we pop into the warehouse, which is kind of our equivalent to Walmart, and pick up something bought. So yeah, okay. I'll admit I'm wearing one of those Disney Moana costumes, and I didn't make a big effort. All right, I'm sorry.
Wow. But you had to come here for Halloween, so you're always welcome here. Always welcome to Halloween here. And, you know, this is going to be written up. This is my Halloween party, Madame Perry's Halloween party, is a very big social event. And this is going to be written up in Gnomes and Better Gnomes and Gargoyles magazine. So you'll see your picture in there soon.
Hey, look, well, can I just sit? No one's sitting on the rack over here. I'll just sit myself over here if that's okay.
Oh, Duffy, did you not find a chair for her? Did you not find a place on the rack or something, or the chair?
I did.
It
had something wrong.
Could you move it around?
Get it together, Duffy.
Here, drive it. Oh, you'll love this one.
Okay. All right.
Much better.
So, Lee Murray, as you all know, is a very, very famous award-winning author. And so I'm hoping as you sit here by the cauldron with us, Lee, that you have a story to tell us.
Oh, and I have a few stories to tell, but I can give you a choice. How about that? I can tell you a story that's an old favorite of mine that's sort of inspired from my own childhood, or I can tell you something that's sort of a little bit more post-World War I or with a bit of a New Zealand flavor. What'd you like to hear?
Ooh, that sounds good, guys. Do you have a vote, everybody? Mr. West?
I'd like to hear the story from your childhood, Lee.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a really old favorite, and it's probably been heard of before. It is an old favorite of mine, and it comes from a true story. Well, part of it's true. All of the bits that aren't fiction are true, and it comes straight out of my childhood. It's called Peter and the Wolf.
Ooh.
The wolf is back. I can hear it when I press my ear to my pillow. Its great paws padding and pacing about under my bed, ragged yellowing claws catching on the wooden floor. Crunch, crunch, crunch. I press my ear against the pillow to block the sound, but still it comes. Crunch, crunch. I'm too scared to shout, the sound stalling in my throat. The wolf comes at night, a lone male with yellow gleaming eyes and blood-blackened teeth. The hero on my pillowcase is useless against the wolf. His cape flapping, Superman throws his fist into the sky and does nothing. The wolf has been visiting me for a long time now. I've learned that the more frightened I become, the more frenzied it becomes, the sound of its steps getting faster and faster as it paces under my bed. It's as if it's learned to smell my fear. I slow my breathing so the wolf stays calm. But one night soon the wolf is going to eat me. Perhaps he's waiting for me to be fatter, like the witch in Hansel and Gretel. He comes back most nights to see if I'm ready. I think it'll be soon because he's getting bolder. I can smell him now, sharp and metallic like the taste of blood after a paper cut. The door opens, letting in the shaft of cheery yellow light from the hallway. Dad comes in. I almost weep with relief. The wolf doesn't show itself. It's afraid of my parents. It slinks away somewhere. I don't know where. Michael, have you wet the bed again? The wolf is here. Now that's enough. I don't want to hear any more stories about wolves. I've told you, there are no wolves in New Zealand and there are no wolves under your bed. The bathroom is just across the hall. Just there. Angry, he throws out his arm. It's the third time this week. We expect this kind of thing from Peter. You're 8. That's too old to be wetting the bed. His face softens. Come on, then. I scramble to my feet. He picks me up, his hands on either side of my waist, and lifts my feet clear of the wolf's fangs. My face smooth against his stubble, he carries me to the bathroom. Paula, he's wet the bed again. In their room next door, I hear Mum slap down her book. She comes to the bathroom where Dad is helping me strip off my wet pajamas and leans against the door. Dad turns the shower on. Mum asks, you okay here? Dad says nothing, but I see the face he pulls. I'll strip the bed then, she says, and she pads away. Later, when I am clean and dry, I lie on my back and watch the light from the hall. Under my bed, the wolf is still. I strain to hear, but he can be cunning. For the moment, there are no footsteps. The light flickers for an instant. Did the door just move? Open. Close. Yes, the wolf has gone. But where? Is it roaming around the house? I imagine the wolf nosing open the door to my brother's room where Peter is asleep in his low toddler bed. My blood freezes and I tremble. Peter. Instinctively, I know the wolf is in Peter's room. In my mind, I see it circling Peter's bed with its yellow teeth and sly eyes. There isn't enough space under Peter's bed for a wolf. Mum tried to slide my old train set under there to get it out of the way, but it wouldn't fit. I have to do something. Peter's just a baby with chubby baby fingers and folds of skin at his wrist. He can't do anything for himself like I can. He needs help to put on his T-shirt or do up his car seat. I get up. Sliding the top drawer of my bedside table open, I take out the pocket knife Granddad gave me for Christmas and prize it open, my fingers shaking and sweaty. My heart races as I creep into the hall. Peter's door is open. I was right. The wolf is in there. I grip my knife hard, my knuckles white, and peep around the door. I see its hulking grey shape on the bed, standing over Peter. It opens its mouth, dripping saliva, its yellow eyes gleeful. No, I won't let it eat, Peter. I won't. I charge at the bed, my tiny knife held high. I thrust and thrust again. I'm close to it now, inhaling ammonia and milk. My blood pounds. The creature howls in frustration. It wasn't expecting me, but still it fights back, clawing at me. I slice out with my knife, knowing I must throw every bit of my weight behind it. The little blade plows deep, touching bone, grinding. Warm blood runs down my hand. But the wolf isn't dead. With a whimper, it bounds away. Then in that instant, the game changes. Suddenly, I am the hunter. I chase it, stabbing at it from behind. Light floods the room. Blinded, I don't see the wolf make its escape. Oh, my God, my mother screams. My eyes adjust. The room is awash with blood, on the bed, on the floor. Peter's fingerprints streak the walls where he has tried to get away. Now he lies on the floor in his Thomas the Tank Engine pajamas, his body ripped and oozing where the wolf's teeth have sunk deep into his torso. On her knees, my mother wraps.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. She left us hanging.
What? Oh,
what
happened there?
Oh, no.
That was
no,
like
I don't know.
Ending.
Hanging.
Lee, come back. Come back, Lee. Oh. Jasper, is this just a showbiz trick to keep us hanging on, to keep us faded? And tormented.
Gosh.
He was eaten by the wolf.
It's one of many tricks, but it's a mean one, just when we're so into the story.
Yes, it was a very mean one. You know, I don't know, gentlemen. I'm just going to give her a bit of a benefit of the doubt that maybe it was some kind of technological situation, and maybe she'll call back and finish. And until then, to keep within the theme, I think she was maybe
whisked away by an evil witch, perhaps.
I like
well,
the wolf
don't look at me.
Going here.
All right. Maybe for her song, it will conjure her back. It will counteract the spell.
Yes.
I think so. And I think the song should be something kind of fitting in. How about Poplock Holmes and Pound of the Baskervilles?
I was going to suggest that exact song.
Was a Friday night when one like no other, with lightning strikes and thunder. When a sound to beat the drowned of the pounding, and no doubt we found out just what made the sound. See, a hound pounding out made sounds that drowned every ounce of the thunderous sounds from the clouds. A pound so deep, our insides were shaken and taken aback when the beast kept breaking. Three beastly heads all barking back, their rumbling bass made the walls crack. Bricks tumbled down, and then with the castle surrounding the beast. Down in the rafters, out of the timbers came pounds and shivers on spines of young babes, no clutching their mothers. The base welled up, the walls came down, the beast got up, and hell went down. We grappled on top of the toppled remains of the castle that tumbled under the strain. The sound that he made shook me right to my kidney. I thought I was lost when it suddenly hit me. Pop, lock, and drop that bass. Run the seams in the place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. Music for the steampunks. Lock and drop that bass. Run DMC's in the place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. With music for the steampunks. Now that hound took a pounding, astoundedly gave back a pounding, confounding me. I dodged, I weaved, I skimmed, I skirmed, but the beast had a head whenever I turned. I couldn't get free, I couldn't get out. I turned to watch on, go on, get out. I'll keep on busy while you get away. The music lived on, my beats must play. So we clashed, we collided, igniting a spark. The bass, the beast, the beat, the art. This wasn't a beast, but the bass that was beating. You can't beat the bass, or the bass that the beast brings. So I stood tall and I let the beast eat me. The bass started beating. The second that he bit me, you can't kill the pop lock. I'm like Obi-Wan, so let the beast drop and pop lock. Pop, lock, and drop that bass. Run the seams in the place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. Music for the steampunks. Lock and drop that bass. Run DMC's in the place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. With music for the steampunks.
Poplock Holmes, Pound of the Baskervilles. Did you like that, guys?
That was fantastic.
That was fun.
Hello.
Oh,
and Lee is back. Lee Murray.
Wow,
Lee,
I think it was something Jeffrey gave me to drink. I'm pretty sure it was something he gave me to drink because I just popped out for a moment.
That juice will do it to you. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Tea. You've drank that before, Mr. West. Any side effects?
I think I already mentioned waking up next to a guy that looked like Benicio del Toro in orange Speedos on a slave ship bound for, I think it was Tallahassee, unless that's inland, I'm not sure. But yeah, that's what happened after last time.
Scary.
I just drank a little bit of that stuff, yeah. So yeah, I can understand
her plight.
It was
just vacation until you got to Tallahassee.
Exactly. So yes, she might have been... unduly affected by that juice. That's all I can say from my own
personal experience. It's okay. I'm eating one of these eyeballs now. They're very crunchy, aren't they?
Duffy's a wizard. He's a wizard in the kitchen. Just a wizard. All right. So
get us back to the story.
Oh, I don't even know where I was when I passed out. I just have no idea.
The mother had the wolf in bed.
Oh my God, my mother screams. Oh, I think we were. Ooh, I don't know. Okay, so now Peter lies on the floor in his Thomas the Tank Engine pajamas, his body ripped and oozing where the wolf's teeth had sunk deep into his torso. On her knees, my mother wraps her arms around him and rocks his little body to and fro. I'm too scared to move. I think my brother may be dead. My father approaches. Ducking down to my level, he uncurls my fingers and removes the knife. It's okay, Michael, he says. It's over now. My fingers are sticky with blood. I look at them in surprise. The wolf was here, I whisper. And this time, Dad nods. Somehow it lost a bit of the drama when I passed out there for a moment, huh?
Oh, not for us. Not for me.
Not at all.
When I was a little girl, I used to lie in bed, and you know you can sometimes hear the pulse in your ear when you push your ear against the pillow. And I, as a small child, I always thought that was a wolf under my bed. So,
wow.
So that's where that story came from.
Was that pulse the beating heart of the wolf, you think, or was it his panting breath as he waited to
I think
run?
It was the beating heart and the footsteps of the wolf under my bed. I completely believed it as a little girl, and so so that's what inspired that story. And I think sometimes our imaginations as children are pretty real. So
absolutely, I had quite an hallucinogenic imagination as a child, and I think I was actually almost into double figures before I stopped asking myself if that was real or did I just imagine it. I think it's a common problem for those who kind of end up as writers, but
go on.
I was just gonna say one of the reasons we become writers is it's almost to tame that imagination, or certainly to distract it and give it something to do.
Or maybe get back to that
same
imagination.
I think in New Zealand we kind of walk with the myth, and New Zealand is a sort of quite a dark and foreboding place anyway. And so, we live with that gothic in the everyday, with that sort of mythology and the isolation and that kind of thing. So I think it's sort of pervasive here, and it certainly gives, it gives great inspiration for story as a writer, for sure. I would agree with that. And I think in England you'd have the same situation with so much mythology and history. To, you know, there's a ghost everywhere you step in England. So I think there is that great impetus for story that comes from just from our environment.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
But isn't that where the Shire is?
Yeah, actually, it's about 40 minutes from where I live. Yeah.
But that's not talking for boating.
Orcs abound. Absolutely, orcs abound here.
I'm surprised you're allowed to talk about it.
No, it's
wonderful
just,
story,
it's
though.
It's a wonderful story, and I think it was great to set it here in New Zealand. You can actually, if you're ever out this way, do come and pop in. You can visit a lot of those venues, and they do have a sense of place and atmosphere, which really is quite dark and sinister. So, yeah, New Zealand was a great place to set that, even if it was an English story.
Ooh. Oh, well, it has been such a delight for you to be here with us, Lee. Are you going to stay for a bit, or do you need to pop back to New Zealand?
I can stay for a little bit. Yeah, I can stay for a little bit. It's a long trip, so I'm very happy a little long.
Yeah. Well, then rest. Get comfortable. I think Debbie has something else for you.
Have another drink.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Good luck with that.
I believe I saw outside we have one more trick or treater, sludging up the hill, and he seems to be having a little bit of difficulty. It could be because of the the children out there. So while he's trudging up here, let me see if I can play. How about one more song? Does anyone here a fan of Hugh Cornwell? And of course, his band, if you know it, Jasper, you should. His band name is appropriate for our Halloween special.
And it is?
The Stranglers. He's the Stranglers.
Oh, yes. Fabulous band.
The Stranglers. And under her spell. Under her spell, Hugh Cornwell from the Stranglers. Well, ooh, what a fabulous night it's been once again. Halloween and Madame Perry's Salon. I don't know what happened to our other trick-or-treater. They were sludging up the hill. I looked and I looked and I looked again. And Duffy, would you mind
opening
the window, sweetie?
He's in the moat. He's in the moat. I see him. He's in the moat. He's holding a shoe. He's holding my shoe.
Well, I guess it's too late now. Duffy, you just have to put him out of his misery.
Oh, no.
There you go.
I'll throw him the other one.
All right. Well done. There we go, Duffy. Thank you all so much for being a part of our special Madame Perry Salon Halloween Party 2017. Sherry,
thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Well, delighted to have you come so far. Sherry Rabinowitz came earlier. All the way from New Zealand, Lee Murray from somewhere, London or something. Jasper Bark from Saipan, Mr. West. And from Casablanca, Duffy, and I am just delighted to have you all here. I'm the luckiest madam in the whole wide world. So everyone, before we pull out the last Halloween music, no moon at all, everybody give your last Halloween warnings to everyone, starting with Lee. What should people watch?
Halloween warning? Oh, I go to bed early.
Yes. Go to bed early? All right. Mr. Bark, Jasper Bark.
Never lift the shroud of an angry ghost. And try and keep what's underneath. That will turn your hair white, I promise you.
Mr. West.
Let's see.
Oh,
you caught
me
off guard.
You're adorable when you. You're adorable when you come sipping out of the cauldron. Duffy?
Be very careful when you're walking under a full moon in the woods because you might hear...
Okay, and remember to take your little goodie bags with your little tricks and treats in them, your little goodie snacks that we made just for you. And,
no moon at all. What
if the snack makes any noise before you get home, just give it a little whack and it will settle down.
Thanks for having me.
Good night. We're out of here, sweetheart.
It's so dark.
It's so dark.
Even Fido was afraid to bark. What a perfect chance to part. If you need atmosphere for inspiration, dear.